We say amen one more time. Praise God. Praise God. Wonderful. It's good to be here today. This is the first Sabbath of the year that I'm preaching here today. Amen. So I am very excited. Also, I am so happy because the new thing for this year is just wonderful. It's wonderful news. Teach and preach. It's just great. And I'm just so happy that we have such a thing for this year. And I know we're going to have a great, great time. We're already having a great time. Amen. I heard and have seen some of the sermons we have having preached here. And it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. So just with that in mind, I would like to challenge the church this year. You know, we need to find a way how can we preach and teach the word of God. Amen. So, you know, last year I challenged you because our thing was to pray, watch and pray. Jesus is coming again. I challenge you to find somebody who you can pray with in church. But this year I would like to challenge you to find a way that you can teach and preach the gospel. Now there's different ways that we can do that. Different ways. Okay, let me see something here. All right, go back. Okay, maybe I need help over there. You just hit play, please. There's different ways that we can do this, teach and preach. And one of the things that I have noticed that is a lot of people are using Twitters and Facebook. Oh, come on, don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. I see you there. Okay? All right. So this is what I want for this year. For those who have social media, Facebook or Twitter, I want you to share with somebody. I know you have friends there from church. And you also have friends who are not from church. And they can see something important there in your status. So when you read something, share a Bible verse. Share something that you think will help somebody. All right? So this is my challenge for you this new year. Find a way to teach and preach. We can use this. This is a powerful tool. I have my Twitter account. And I also have my Facebook account. Come on, say amen. I know some of you follow me on Facebook. I hope some of you will follow me on Twitter. Okay? Because we want to have this conversation. We want to have this new way to reach people. Let me tell you that Joy of Troy also have their own Twitter account. I don't know if you know that, but we have our own Twitter account. The Women Ministry Department, they have their own Twitter account. Joy of Troy have YouTube channel. You can see the sermon who are preaching here. You can see the events that we do. So you get up online, go into YouTube, go on Facebook, go on Twitter, and teach and preach. Because guess what? Jesus is coming again. So we need to do our thing. We need to do whatever is necessary to preach and teach. So this is my account there. You can follow me. I will definitely follow you back. And this is the hashtag for the day. Every time that I'm preaching here, I want to bring a word that we can share on Twitter, on Facebook. This is the hashtag for the day, the words that we're going to be using. If you're going to share something, make sure that you have that there. The word for this day is this. The mission, be the sermon. Just go. Hashtag share your story. Hashtag teach and preach. And hashtag Sabbath in Troy. Amen. We want the people to know that Troy is preaching and teaching that Jesus is coming again. Amen. So get on board. Get on board. Get your Facebook account. Get your Twitter account. And let's start sharing that Jesus is coming again. Now for today's topic, I want to just share something very important. This is a topic that I love so much, and I believe that you should too. The topic for this morning is the mission still the same. The mission still the same. And I know that we are in our last days, in the last 2 days of the first month for this new year. Okay? But let me just go back what happened exactly about a month ago. How people were acting and how people were thinking about just a month ago. Because a month ago, all we heard and all we talked about was the fact that was the end of the year, right? And everybody else was just getting ready to celebrate, right? Let me share with you some of the things that people do when it's the end of the year, because there is something. There is something about the last day of the year on a calendar that fills people with emotion. Whether that emotion is hope or optimism, in some other cases, the new year brings a mix of emotions and fear and joy. Because some people, they don't know what to expect for the new year. So in some cases, the people bring insecurity in their life because they don't know what's going to happen in this new year. We don't know exactly what's going on. It's a mixed feelings that we had. Now, one thing is for sure. Nobody hopes for a bad new year. We all want a good new year. People around the world have different customs and traditions on how to prepare for the new year, what to do or not to do. They made their plans based that in this idea or concept that somehow we can gain faith by performing some things or tasks, whether it can be eating certain food. People have that custom. People go crazy and they just throw the furniture out of the window because this is a new thing, and they have this mindset that if you do something different, maybe the new year will bring new luck. People, for the new year, they go around and they eat 12 grapes. I don't know if you have you ever heard that, but people actually do that. They go to their homes and they get ready for the new year, and they eat 12 grapes, which represent the 12 months of the year. Other people go and they dress all white, like in Brazil. They go there on the beach and they prepare themselves. They go and everybody's wearing dress, white dress. The different colors is important. The different colors attract different kinds of luck. Why, of course, white, of course, is about peace. I guess we all want peace, right? But green means good health. So people will do this. If they want good health, they will use the color green. Yellow means money. They want to have money for the new year. Red means is to attract love. Okay, purple denotes inspiration. Now, these people do crazy things for the new year. They go and they clean their house. They buy new clothes. They buy a new car. They get a new pet. Maybe somebody in here knows what I'm talking about. Everything is new. But even though they have changed all things in their house, their behavior and mindset is still the same. They have a new car and still driving that car with the same old bad habits. They don't respect the traffic light. They just drive like crazy. Now, you may have a new car, but you still have bad driving skills. Now, you probably know someone who is facing some depression issues, and he's always depressed, and she always depressed, and that person is like that because someone who promised her or promised him that we're going to be together forever and ever, that person now is no way to be found. And that person is in depression issues. Now, that person who is going through that said, well, I'm going to change my attitude for this new year. So I'm going to go to the store. I'm going to buy a new music entertainment system. Because I want to change my mind. I want to change things in my home. So I'm going to go and buy a new music entertainment system. So that person go and get that new entertainment system. But instead of getting new songs, that person is still playing the old song that says, "Baby, come back." Now, you just got a new entertainment system, but you're still playing the old song. I tell you what, if that person is not around for 25 years, what makes you think that he will come back now? You need to move on. You need to move on. Now, if you want something new for this new year, you just can't continue and keep doing the same old things every day and expect different results. In other words, you can't keep doing the same workout routine and expect to look differently. If you want your life to change, you need God to change who you are. And we must pray like David in Psalms 51:10. God, create a pure heart in me and renew a right attitude within me. Let's remember, brothers and sisters, God's mission is to change our failing human nature. God's mission is to save us and take us to a better and beautiful place. In fact, when you read Revelation 2:17, the Bible says that God will give us a new name. He's going to give us a new name that represents our character. God's mission is to shape our character so that we can be part of his kingdom. That always has been God's mission, and it always remains the same forever. If God has a mission, we need to ask ourselves, what is our mission as a church? What is our mission as a church? Let's pray. Father, we just ask for your presence and your guidance and your knowledge at this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go with me, please, to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. This is very well known for most of you here. Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. And it says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Now surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. It has been said that missions is the heartbeat of God. And it also must be the heartbeat of the church and each of one of the members of this church. Now let's be clear about something. Neither the word missions nor missionary is found in your King James Bible version. It's not there. Now, the terms that we use comes from the Greek word that means apostolos, which means apostle. In other words, is the one the translation is the one sent out with a message. That's what apostolos means. Apostle means one sent out with a message. But another person need to send it out. And he bears the message of another. In other words, it is God, the one who gives us the message that we are to carry. What I said, it is God. It is God, the one who gives us the message that we need to present. Now, we tend to be very close-minded when it comes to mission. We think that when somebody is doing a missionary work, when somebody is doing mission work, we think that somebody has to be far away in the mission field. Somebody need to just sleeping outside with the snow and just having really hard times. We think that somebody has to be far, far away in a distant country. But the Bible doesn't say that. Mission is to go and preach the gospel wherever you are. Mission field is wherever you go. What is our mission? What is our mission? It's all our work. Listen to this. It is all our work empowered by the Holy Spirit to proclaim Jesus Christ and share the blessing of the Christian faith. That's what we are here to do, brothers and sisters. We are here to share the grace of Jesus Christ. So whether you are in the Caribbean island or in Canada or in England or New York, maybe in your own community or neighborhood, our mission is still the same. Our mission is to get the gospel to them. Those who don't know Jesus yet, that's our mission. And our mission is still the same. Let's look at some of the details about our mission. Matthew 28, once again. This time we're going to read from verse 18. Matthew 28. 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." And now he says, "Therefore, go." What's the first word that we find here? Go. Now, we need to understand something. In Greek, there's no division. Everything is connected. So when Jesus said, "I have all authority, I have all the power, and that is the reason why I'm saying to you, go. Because I have the power, I have the authority, I'm telling you, go. Just go. Wherever you go," it should be the translation that we need to understand today. Wherever you go, everywhere you go, you can share the gospel. You can share something about Christ. You can share something about God. You can share something nice with somebody who is in need. We just need to go and move forward with our mission. Go and make disciples. Now, we need to understand that we cannot reach people if we don't go where people are. We won't reach people if we don't go where people are. The command is go. Go and reach people. Go and talk to them. Go and help them with their needs. Go and pray for them and pray with them. Go and show that you care for them. Go and serve without expecting anything in return. Go and have compassion for them. Go and love them. Because if you love God, you must love people. The command is go. But it seems to me that some of us want to change our mission. Too many of Lord's churches have accepted this mentality, this mindset of, if you build it, they will come. But let's be clear about something today. Jesus did not command the whole world to go to the church. Jesus did not command the whole world to go to the church. Jesus commanded his church to go to the world. We can't change the concept of our mission. We cannot change the purpose of our mission. Our mission is still the same. We need to go and be where the people are. And we are living in the days of that people don't want to come to the temple and worship. Let me repeat that again. We are living in the days that people don't want to come to the temple and worship. And I use the word temple. Notice that I didn't use the word church. Because we are the church. We are the church. Actually, when you study the meaning of the word church in the Bible, in the Greek is ekklesia, which means the one who are called out. So when you are in the church, we are the church. The church is not the building. The church is you. I am the church. So you cannot say, "Well, I don't want to go to church today." But guess what? You are the church. The Bible says that wherever there are three or four gathered in my name, I am going to be with them, says the Lord. You are the church. Wherever you go, you are the church. So you must preach the message of salvation. Every time that the word is used in the Bible, it talks about people. It talks about members. It talks about person. So you can go, because you are the church. This is not something new, brothers and sisters. Our mission is still the same. In Matthew 28, the Lord gave us just one command to his church. Just one. And this is not something new. The words that you see there, teach, is found in New King James Version. But in New King James Bible version says, go and make disciples. In other versions said, go and teach. It means all the same thing. But the important thing of this word is that it's a verb in the sentence. It's the only verb in the sentence. And it is in the imperative mood. meaning that it is a direct command. So when God said, go and teach, go and make disciples, it is a command. It's not a suggestion, it is a command. So the command is go and make disciples. Make them followers of Christ. Of who? Of Christ. Not the pastor, not the elders, of Christ. Who? All nations. Who? All nations. All people. John 20:21 says, as my Father had sent me, even so I sent you. To whom was Jesus speaking? To his church. To us. To each and every one of us. Now, probably you're asking yourself, Pastor, but how can I go out and preach? How can I go out and teach somebody? This is a story that comes to my mind. There's a story who said that there was a group of monks. And one day they decided that they want to go out and preach. So they left the monastery and they said, we're going to go down and preach to the near village. So this was the idea. We're going to go out to the near village and we're going to preach the gospel. And they said, and if it is necessary, we're going to open our mouth. We're going to go preach, but only if necessary, we will open our mouth. In other words, the best way to preach is by example. The best way to preach and teach others, it is by example. Let people see Jesus in you. Let people see Jesus in you. Every member of the church has been told to make disciples. The going is necessary. We are supposed to take part of this mission. We must go. Let me ask you something. Where teachers come from? Where pastors come from? They come from the church. They come from us. So we need to go out and teach and preach. God is still calling people today to be part of his mission. Not because God needs you to save people. Listen to this. God is still calling people to be part of his mission. Not because God needs you to save people, but because we need the mission to be saved by God. Do you know that in a survey says that only 2% of the believers have ever introduced another person to Christ? Only 2% of all believers have ever introduced another person to Christ. Make disciples. Before you become a teacher, you must be willing to learn as a student. Just because you are in the classroom, that doesn't mean that you are learning. So if you are going to teach somebody how to be a disciple, we need to make sure that we have learned how to follow. Because we really like to say and talk about how to do things, but we have failed to show people how to do it. It is not what we said, it is what we do. We must practice what we preach. We have a message from God, and it needs to be shared. I know it's not popular. I know it's not cool. But guess what? It's the message from the Lord. And sometimes I hear people saying, well, I don't feel like staying and go and visit somebody. I don't feel like going and do this and do that. It's just not for me. Well, Pastor, I just don't feel like it. Can you imagine if Jesus would say something like that to us? Well, I don't feel like going to earth and die for you. I don't feel like going down to earth and die for you on the cross. I don't feel like I want to pray for you. I don't feel like I want to stay with you. I don't feel like it. We are called to do a mission. As we make disciples, we must teach them to identify with Christ, to live for Him. God's order is clear. Make people followers of Christ. Baptize them and teach them to obey everything. This process requires patience, commitment, sacrifice, energy, joy, passion, and a deep desire to help people. Now, if you're still asking yourself, "Pastor, I don't know what to teach or what to preach," I need to say that you are wrong. Because I'm sure that all of us here in this place have learned something from God. I thought somebody would say amen. I'm sure that everybody here have learned something from God. Well, I don't know about you, but what I teach is what I have learned from God. And what I have learned from God is that He is good all the time. I have learned from God that He is my best friend. I have learned from God that when I feel sad and alone, His presence will never leave me. I have learned from God that when I confess my sins, He is faithful to forgive me. I have learned from God that He is a powerful God, a merciful God. He is a sinner savior. I have learned from God that His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His promise is sure. He is the pathway of peace. He is the roadway of righteousness. He is the highway of holiness. He is the gateway of glory. I have learned from God that He is the way. He is the truth. He is the light. And I also have learned that He is coming back again. This is all you need to share. That He is good to us. Tell somebody your story. Tell somebody how wonderful God has been to you. This is our mission, brothers and sisters. Tell your story. Like Sister Annette mentioned the other day, tell your story. Be the sermon. Share how wonderful God has been to you. Tell somebody the things that you used to do and now the kind of person that you are today. We are talking about mission today. Let me suggest to you that our mission of the church is very simple. Our mission is to reach a lost world with the saving message of Jesus. Teach them to obey. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you are. If you are a Christian, your mission is still the same. We have pastors in our church. We have elders, deacons, deaconesses, teachers, doctors, members with different titles and positions. But guess what? Our mission is still the same. The levels do not measure who you are. Your titles do not measure who you are. Just the fruit that you bear. Church members, we need to remember our mission, because I don't care how big or how small we are as a church. If we don't carry out the mission, we are wasting our time. We could be in the building, but not in the body of Christ. Our mission still the same. Our mission is not to fight each other. Our mission is to fight the devil. No matter what trial comes, remember that our mission is still the same. Pastors will come and go, but our mission is still the same. You could move to another house or another city or another country, but our mission is still the same. So, Sister Pam, your mission will still the same. No matter where you go. We have radio stations. We have TV stations. We have satellite equipment. We have new ways to interact with people through the social media. But our mission is still the same. We come from different backgrounds. We speak different languages. We have different social status. We have different amounts of money in our bank accounts. But our mission is still the same. You can work sometimes. You can work part-time. You can work full-time. Or you can work overtime. Maybe you work all the time. But guess what? Our mission is still the same. We have in our church a board of elders. We have deacons and deaconesses. We have treasurers and clerk department. We have a Sabbath school ministry. We have a children's ministry. We have a communication department. We have personal ministry and youth ministry. We have the Pathfinder and Adventurers committee. We have health ministry, community service, family life ministry, late advisories. We have men's ministry and women's ministry. We have religious or liberty committee. We have music ministry, audio visual technology department. We have the Bible Discovery Bible School department. We have different departments, different roles, different functions, but our mission is still the same. Preach that Jesus is coming again. Teach and preach that he is coming again. Jesus said, go. But you don't have to go alone. He is going with you. Oh, come on, somebody. Jesus said, go. But remember that you don't have to go alone. He is going with you. At the end of the Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, he said, I am going with you. I'm going to be with you. Oh, come on, church. The Bible said that Jesus, the one who telling you go, he said, I am also going to be with you. Everywhere you go, he's going to be with you. Teach and preach. I am with you. Pray with somebody. Talk with somebody. Be an example to others because I am going to be with you. You don't need to worry about the message. You don't need to worry about the words or how we're going to present it. He is going to be with you. He will teach you. You will learn from him. You will never be alone. Just go. Teach and preach because Jesus is coming again. God bless. At this time, I want to pray. And now we all get ready to go downstairs and be part of our mission. We are going to be witnessing of one of the most important ceremonies in our church, this baptism. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your goodness. I thank you, Lord, because we can trust in you. I thank you, Father, because when you said go, you also promised that you're going to be with us. Thank you, Lord, because we are never alone. We just praise your name for your protection and for your company with us. Thank you, Lord. Help us to understand our mission and to move forward and teach and preach because Jesus is coming again. Amen.